In a Peanuts comic strip, I love those Peanuts comic strips. There was a conversation, actually it was a philosophical discussion perpetrated by Lucy toward Charlie Brown. Lucy tells Charlie Brown, life is like a deck chair. Some people place their deck chair so that they can see what has transpired in the past. Some place their deck chair so that they can see what's coming in the future. And some place their deck chair so that they know what's going on right now. Charlie Brown said, I can't even get mine unfolded. I think that's the way a lot of us feel. We live in a culture and a time where things are really different. What is life all about? What are all of these new issues that are arising day by day affecting us? I used to know an old song. It was, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. That was a good woke, I thought. But now we have the woke philosophy where you can't call a boy or a girl a girl. I just want you to know one thing. There's only two genders. Two genders, male and female. There are no hermaphrodites. And it's time that we wake up as Christian people and take a stand on that. The woke philosophy is telling us that we can't make a distinction between male and female. And then we have critical race theory, and I won't get into that very deep, but it's looking at history from a racial perspective. So if we tear down all the statues, then all of a sudden we're going to have a perfect situation. Baloney. How many of you studied math in high school? How many of you studied math in college? Yeah. I studied math in high school. I took math logic in graduate school. And you know what? They're telling us now that in a math book, you can determine white superiority. I nearly fainted on that one. I don't know how you can get that out of a math book. But we have all of these issues that keep coming day by day by day, hour by hour, so it seems. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to be swayed by that stuff? Or are we going to take a stand on what the Word of God says? Are we going to take a stand upon what the Word of God says? Boy, that was weak. How many of you really believe this book is the Bible? The Word of God. Amen. I can't hear you when you raise your hand. I can only hear you if you say, yeah! Life sometimes is like this guy who bought a new hunting dog. And he was eager to find out how this hunting dog would function. So he took the hunting dog out and hoped that he would find the scent of a bear. And yeah, they went out into the forest, and man, he picked up the scent of a bear, and they took off. Well, he didn't go too far, and he changed direction, because he picked up the scent of a deer that had crossed the trail of the bear. So here he goes, lickety-split, and all of a sudden he changes directions again because he picked up the scent of a rabbit that had crossed the trail. Now this guy chasing this dog is about out of breath, but he finally founds his new hunting dog barking like crazy down the hole of a mouse. I wonder how many times we use our lives to bark down the hole of a field mouse. We can get distracted really easy. You take off with a bear and you wind up with a field mouse. So what should be our focus in this day and age? What should we really pay attention to? I believe the scripture that we're going to look at from Romans, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4, emphasizes that we need to focus on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be central in our lives. If he's not, then we're going to go off on woke. We're going to go off on critical race theory. We're going to go off on math. We're going to go off on progressivism. We're going to go off on all of these things that seem to come day by day by day. So, point being, Christ has to be central in our lives. Otherwise, we're chasing this, that, and the other thing. Just after World War II, a preacher by the name of William Sangster came down with a terrible disease that gradually paralyzed him. Even his vocal cords, to the place that he could no longer speak. Now, for a preacher not to be able to speak is really difficult. It may be wonderful for the congregation, it isn't so good for the preacher. His daughter came to visit him on Easter, and he couldn't speak a word. But he wrote down how terrible to wake up on Easter and have no voice which to shout, "He is risen." And then he thought a minute and he wrote something else. But it's even worse to have a voice and not want to shout. So this morning, on behalf of this preacher, we're going to shout, "He is risen. He is risen indeed." You want to try that again? All by yourself. I'll give you an A on that. You really did good. So I want us to look this morning at Romans, a magnificent passage of Scripture, and we won't be able to plumb the depths of it this morning. Paul, a bondservant, that bondservant means under oarsman. You know, they had these ships in ancient times where on the bottom floor there were those people rowing. That's what he means. I'm on the bottom. I'm an oarsman, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Apostle Paul was focused. "I'm determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified." That's where we need to be. Yes, we need to be aware of all this other stuff. And if somebody asks us for our faith or about these issues, we should be able to give a biblical answer. But I tell you, it's so easy to lose our focus and be involved in so many different things. The scripture says, "Who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." And that's what the Apostle Paul is getting at here. Why did Jesus become a man? Why did God the Father allow his Son to ever tabernacle among us? so that he could do one major thing, establish his divinity and to make it possible for us to have everlasting life through his death, burial, and resurrection. John 3:16, all of us know that verse, but it is tremendously important. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, his only born son. God sent his only born son. What's the rest of it? God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We need to keep that in our hearts and our minds. So, what we're finding here is the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus told us who he was over and over in Scripture. In John 8:58, he said, "I and the Father are one." I meant that's John 10:30. He said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." John 8:58. And he accepted the comment by doubting Thomas when Thomas said, "Wow, my Lord and my God." And he didn't say to Thomas, "No, that's not the way it is." He accepted that analysis. Jesus claimed to be divine. And because of his resurrection, had he not been the divine Son of God, God would have never allowed him to be resurrected. And so we know, praise God, that he is Jesus the Christ. Now, let me tell you something. If Christ is not the divine Son of God, we have no faith. There's nothing like Christianity in existence. It's all a hoax. I don't want to believe a hoax. Do you think Peter and the apostles got up knowing that Jesus Christ had never been resurrected and started preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What kind of insanity would that be? Why would you want to perpetrate such a hoax on the world? They believed it. They saw it with their own eyes. And the world has never been the same since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's suppose you're in the Great Rocky Mountains and you get lost and you come upon a couple of rangers in their green suits. One of them is alive and the other one is dead from a heart attack. Which one would you follow? Huh? I think you'd follow the living one, wouldn't you? But you know, in the world in which we live, most people are following somebody dead. There's only one person in all of history who has conquered death. That's Jesus Christ. Muhammad, he's dead. Dead in a doornail. Any religion you want to mention, the so-called author of that religion is dead. I don't want to follow somebody dead. I want to follow the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm moving on quickly. Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Boy, I'd like to talk about that for the next hour. But I won't. And every tongue, there is not a tongue, past, present, and future, that is not going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Put that in the bank. You can say I'm an atheist. By the way, it's impossible to be an atheist. I'll explain that later. Don't have time this morning. You can be an agnostic. You can be a whatever. There's a day coming when every tongue will confess that Jesus is Christ, the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That should be our focus. What is your focus? Stop and think about it. Boy, I have to work hard to keep Christ as my focus, because there are so many other things that can attract your attention. Jesus was his human name. Why? Because it simply means Savior. So Jesus is our Savior. The word Christ means anointed one. Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means he is the Messiah. This is what the Jews were looking for, the Messiah. And he came, and they failed to recognize who he was. But Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's where the rock meets the road. Is he our Lord? Is he your Lord? That means he's your master. It means he tells you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Pretty tough stuff, because we can be attracted by so many other things. He must be the ruler. He must be the master. He must be the Lord of our lives. Years ago, and this is true, what I'm going to tell you, a minister was walking to church one Sunday, and he passed by one of his members who, instead of going to church, was out working in his garden. So the pastor said, can't you hear the church bells ringing? That's a call to the church, to go to church. And he said, what did you say? And so the pastor yelled a little bit louder. Can't you hear the church bells calling you to church? What? I can't hear you. And he shouted loud. Can't you hear the church bells? And the guy said, I can't hear you because of those bells. Amazing, isn't it? He needs to be the Lord of our attitudes. He needs to be the Lord of our words, the Lord of our finances, the Lord of our time, the Lord of everything. But we get distracted. We're like that hunting dog. And we're barking down the hole of a field mouse. An American pastor had a life-changing experience when he visited a leper colony in South America. He visited with a number of patients, and he came to one by the name of Rose. What a pity. Her eyes had actually rotted away. She was blind. Her hands and her feet were only stumps. There was blood on her face from the mosquitoes that bit her constantly, but she had no way to swat them and get rid of them. So when the pastor was getting ready to pray for her, he asked if she had a special prayer request. I want you to think about that. This is a woman in jeopardy. And this is what she said. Please pray that I can witness so effectively to the doctors who treat me that they will one day know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Here was a woman who wasn't concerned about herself, pray for that I might be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, that's making Jesus Christ Lord. And that's where we need to be, focused on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rose had made Jesus Lord of her life. What an example for us. Jesus Christ came to earth for one purpose, to bring salvation to mankind through his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus Christ has the power to change your life and mine. We don't have to be what we are today if we want to be better, or if we want to be something else. Christ can help us with that. If we want to be a more effective evangelist, if we want to be a more effective proclaimer of the gospel of Christ, he can help us with that. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ desires to be Lord of your life and mine. We can either make him Lord, or we can just go on our way without that. Our closing hymn this morning is, because he lives. Because he lives what? Oh, yeah. Amen to that. So, you know where you are. You know what you need to do. Maybe you don't need to do anything. I know that I have to struggle with this every day of my life. So let's be standing as we sing together, Because He Lives.